Whether we say these things out loud, whether we make these privately or publicly, a new year is a time when we all make resolutions. We might not say them out loud, but even in our heads, we're thinking about things that we want to improve on or things we want to do. We set forth either spoken resolutions and goals, or we just, in our own minds, draw those things up. A year, brand new year, brings with it a refreshing. It feels like a fresh start, and that energizes us to then make the determination to make positive changes in our lives. It's good to have goals, and a brand new year is a time that we tend to think about goals. It's good to have goals. Goals prepare us. It gives us the opportunity to be more of what Jesus has designed us to be and created us to be. Goals give us that opportunity to become more of the men and women in Jesus Christ that we can be. It's good to have goals, and so we should set goals in all areas of our lives. As you're looking ahead towards this year, we should set goals as the Lord leads on your heart in various areas of your life. You should have spiritual goals. Every one of us should have spiritual goals for this year. You know, maybe your goal spiritually is to learn to hear His voice more clearly. Or whatever's on your heart. We should have spiritual goals. We should have physical goals. We should determine, this is the year that allergies are going to be gone, or migraines will no longer be a part of my life, or whatever it is. So we should have physical goals that we set forth and say, I'm going to walk in the fullness of His promises and blessings for this year. Goals are good because it gives us something to shoot for and to hang on to. We should have financial goals. You know, you could even set a financial goal, and this might sound silly to you, but you could set a financial goal this year to say that in Jesus Christ, I will be debt-free this year. And you might think that, well, that's impossible. You have no idea how much debt I have. I briefly shared it. Sometime I'll share you just numerous examples of the supernatural, amazing things that God has done in Donna's in my life. Well, a lot of it was Donna. It was more Donna than me. But it was His favor, and we were faithful to do what He said. So set yourself financial goals. There should be family goals, things that you and your family have as goals for the coming year. There should be biblical goals. You know, maybe you want to go through Revelation and gain an understanding on that, or maybe some of the minor prophets you don't understand, or you want to, you know, understand the Gospels that you can share. Whatever it is, set some biblical goals for yourselves as well. We should have all kinds of goals. We should have goals for service. That's why what Amy said struck my heart. Because we should have goals for how we are going to serve Jesus Christ. How am I going to serve Him in the coming year? Set goals for these things. Goals are good things for us to have. Unfortunately, however, the reality is most of us, if we look back towards the goals or the resolutions that we've set in the past, most of us failed in the past to see those goals achieved or to see those resolutions fulfilled. Now, this is a rhetorical question, so don't raise your hands on this, but just answer this question yourself. How many of you fulfilled the goals or the resolutions that you made last year? And again, it might not be something that you spoke, but in here in your mind, at the start of the year, you had said, I want to accomplish this in the year ahead. How many of those goals or those resolutions did you accomplish last year? And as you're pondering that, let me ask you an even more telling question. How many of you even remember what goals or resolutions you set for last year? What was it? They're in your phone, but they're not in here. Well, see, if you got half, that's good. See, the truth of the matter is, most of us don't ever wind up fulfilling those goals and those resolutions. And you know why most resolutions fail and will likely fail in the future? You know the reason for it? Improper motivation. Our motives for why we set these goals is not the proper goal. The impetus behind most of the goals and most of the resolutions that we set is carnal. You know, for the most part, we're setting goals because they're things that we desire. It's self-centered. It's more about self-glorification and accomplishing and achieving things that I want or that I desire, as opposed to glorifying Jesus Christ. When I do things, but my motivation is for self instead of for Christ, I'm going to continue to find and experience frustration in not seeing my goals and in not seeing my resolutions come to pass in every successive year. It's improper motivation. My motivation to set goals, my motivation for the resolutions should not be what I desire and what I want. It is for Him and what His plans are and what He desires for me to have and for me to do. This is what my goals, this is what I should set my goals and my resolutions. The mistake that we tend to make is we forget that our lives are not our own. Our lives belong to Him. And with that in mind, that's what I should be considering as I'm setting those goals and making those resolutions for the year to come. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 to you. This is from the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made His own. You're not your own. You are His own. So then, honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. Achieving success in the goals that I set before myself for the coming year is neither impossible nor, I would say to you, is it even that difficult if I will resolve to align my goals with His goals for me. If I make His goals my goals, I'm going to find that I accomplish those goals. And they're not difficult, and they're not impossible. Even though you might look back in the history and might say, I never accomplish or fulfill the goals, or I never fulfilled those things that I have resolved to do. It's not difficult, and it's not impossible if I'm listening to Him and I'm aligning my goals with His goals. So I'm doing things for His glory instead of doing things to take care of myself. Instead of self-centered things. This is the difference. This is what makes it different. Now, consider this. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, meaning also not to self. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. With this motivation, I can attack every goal that is set before me heartily. I can attack every goal because it's not for me. It is done unto Him. My goals are done unto Him and unto His glory, not unto me and not unto self. If my catalyst is for self, then as soon as things get difficult, or as soon as I get tired, or as soon as I just get weary of doing that resolution or that goal, I'm going to give up and quit just like every other year. But if I make the goals and the resolutions that align with His goals for me, if I'm doing it to His glory and not for myself and not for selfish motivation, if that's my goal, then in Him I have the supernatural fortitude and the supernatural resolve to receive His full inheritance for me. Because He's got good things planned for us. My resolutions, my goals should be, I should know what His thoughts and His mind is for me. And I should be aligning with that. Then I'm going to find that success. I'm going to have the fortitude to be able to accomplish those things. This is something, here's a powerful thing to remember every day in 2017. We are merely stewards of the things that Jesus has entrusted to us. We are merely stewards of those things, including in that. I'm just a steward of this life, but I'm also a steward of everything that pertains to all aspects of this daily life in service to Him. That covers everything, everything that He has entrusted and given to me. I am merely a steward of those things. So, what's a steward? You know, the word stewardship, unfortunately, in religious connotations, the word stewardship has kind of been hijacked. It's become a code word for fundraising. You know, when you hear stewardship, it's usually followed by the word campaign, you know, which means somebody is raising money for something. And that is a sad misappropriation of the word stewardship. Here is stewardship. We all understand that we were dead in sin, but we have eternal life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for our sins. We've been bought with the price of His blood. And since my life has been purchased, well, then it's logical that it's no longer my life. It's His life. It belongs to Him. In my acceptance of His gracious, loving, awesome gift of salvation, in my acceptance of His gift of salvation, I willingly gave my life back to Him. It's no longer mine. It belongs, this life now belongs to Him. But He has made me the steward of this life and all that pertains to this life. So I am given stewardship. It's not mine, but I am the steward of this life. I'm the steward of the money that He's given me. I'm a steward of the marriage that He's given me. I'm the steward of my children, of my house, of my job, of my car. I'm the steward of everything that He has entrusted to me. And it's imperative that I remember every day, I am merely the steward. You know, there's freedom in that. Because when I understand that I'm just the steward of these things, you know, one of the things that Don and I do when we are leaving for vacation, we will pull out of the driveway, and before we get to the end of the driveway, we stop the car every time. And at the end of the driveway, we will just sit there and we just pray. And this is my prayer. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Because this house and this property, city on a hill when I'm gone, I just say, thank you. Because I'm just the steward. This is your property. It's your house. City on a hill is yours and all that comes with it. I'm just the steward. So I thank you that while I'm gone, it's yours and you will protect it and you will take care of it. There's a freedom and liberty that comes in understanding that we're just stewards. And I've told you guys, there's been twice that we've been gone on vacation, and twice we've come back and found on our garage door, we have the big garage door, but there's a little side door next to it, and the door handle, we came back one time, and the door handle was flattened. And you could see the little rib marks where somebody had gotten something and clamped down and was trying to twist it off because the door handle was round, but now it's flattened. And that was all. They never got in. If you know where our house is at, it's pretty secluded. There's no reason for them to get scared to go off. In fact, if they really wanted to, I don't know why they even tried that, there's a window right there above the handle. They could have just broken in the window and reached in and done it. They tried to get in, but they didn't. There was another time Don and I went on vacation. We came back, and I was looking. We have two big sliding glass doors in our back. And I'm looking, and I thought, well, that doesn't look right. And I could see that the woodwork was chipped on the inside of the door. And so I opened the door, and I could see outside. You could see the tongue and the marking that had been made. Somebody had a pry bar and stuck a pry bar in there, and it actually chipped the wood. They were just a second away from popping that door open. What kept them from coming in? What kept them from breaking in? They were there. Both times, they were there. I don't know what Jesus did. I don't know what angels showed up and scared them off, but I tell you this, God took care of that place when we weren't there. Why? Because we understood that we were just stewards. There is freedom and liberty that comes from understanding, I'm just a steward. In this life, I'm just a steward. That's why I can say, Lord, if I'm feeling sickness, come on, look, I'm just a steward of this body. It belongs to you. I'm standing on your word and speaking your word. I believe his body's healed, and we're healed. We are just stewards of this life and everything that pertains to this life and everything that he has given us in this life. We are just the stewards. So we can understand all of that. We can understand that conceptually. But when the Bible itself specifically refers to us as stewards, what does that mean? Now, to understand it, let's look at the word steward. Let's look at the word steward from the Greek of the New Testament and see what does it actually mean. So in the Greek, this is the definition for the word steward. It's a household manager or a guardian. It goes on to say, a steward or a manager, this is important, a steward or a manager is generally a freed man, i.e., this is all part of the quote, i.e., a slave who's been released from forced legal servitude. Think about that. A steward is a slave, a freedman, a slave that's been released from forced legal servitude. This is you and I. This is speaking about me. Because before I was saved, I was in the bondage of slavery because of sin. But I have been released from the servitude, from the forced servitude. I've been released by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been released because I was purchased by His blood. Now, He purchased me with His blood, but it became legally effective when I accepted the sacrificial work that Jesus did for me. I want you to realize that in that very definition, it says legal. It was forced legal servitude. Sin gave the devil the legal permission and the legal right to keep me in bondage. However, I have been purchased and set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the joy, this is the power and the reality of understanding stewardship and what it means to be a steward and who we are as a steward. I was a slave, but now I am a freed man in Jesus Christ. And because of the purchase that He made, this life is no longer mine. It's His. I willingly and joyously gave it back to the One who created it. Now here's the most important and astounding thing of all this. I gave, when I accepted it, I gave my life back to Him. I was in bondage of sin, but He purchased my life. Jesus, in His infinite love, has then graciously given me stewardship over this life that had been in bondage because of me and sin. Jesus, in His infinite love, graciously made me the steward of this life and everything that comes along with, everything that pertains to this life. He made me the steward. That is amazing to me. That is the graciousness of Jesus Christ to allow us to become the stewards. I am now the manager of this house, this temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the manager. It's amazing that He entrusted that to me because He saw what I did with this house before Him. And yet He still is entrusting it to me. That's the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Now, we often think of the word, and we often think the word servant is the same thing as steward. But they're not. They're not interchangeable. They're different. While it's true that we are all servants, it's also true that we are all, as believers, stewards of Jesus Christ. And being a steward implies something a little bit more. It implies something greater. And to really fully understand what it's implying, we can best understand it when we hear Jesus Himself explaining this to His disciples. And this is what He does in Luke chapter 12. I would encourage you to go there because we're going to spend a lot of time going back and forth to Luke 12. This is Luke chapter 12, and He's speaking to His disciples, and He says this to them in verse number 35. It's simple, but bear with me. He says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." When Jesus says, "Let your waist be girded," to gird your waist means to take those long, loose, free-flowing clothes and to tie them up around your waist to get them out of the way so that you are free to move quickly. What it's implying is, the implication is, we need to be ready to serve Him. The implication is we need to prepare ourselves and be ready to quickly serve Him. My job as a steward, my job serving Him, is to make myself ready to serve Him according to His will. Not looking to serve myself, but instead keeping my lamp burning. In other words, I am removed from the darkness of the world by the light of Jesus Christ. And in that light, I am to be ever watchful for every opportunity to serve Him. This is who we're called to be. We are servants to Him, and we are stewards to Him. Now, if we just go down two verses past this, so if you go look in verse number 37, drop down just two verses from that, and we see the amazing promises that Jesus makes to us as we serve him. Listen to this promise. Luke 12, verse number 37. He says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down and eat, and will come and serve them." When the master comes and finds us watchful and prepared to serve, when he comes and he sees Kim, he sees Caleb, he sees Amy, he sees Jim, when he comes and he sees us watchful and prepared to serve, this says he will gird himself and he will serve the servants. What? Jesus will serve us. That's what it says. That's amazing. Jesus, when he finds us prepared and watchful, he will gird himself and serve us. These are Jesus' words. This is what he's speaking. This is what Jesus is trying. Here's the picture he's trying to paint for you so that we understand. As believers in Jesus Christ, we all eat at the king's table. At the king's table is where everything that we need is. He's prepared everything. Every good thing that you require, he's already prepared it. There's nothing but the best at the king's table. It is the banquet that he has prepared for his own. So when you think about eating at the king's table, eating at the king's table is a view beyond this life. It's talking about the life to come, but it's also a view of this life, in living this life as well. It's a view of right now today, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It is in us, and it is through us. As we live and as we serve Jesus Christ, we do so through every good thing. You live and you serve Jesus through every good thing that he has prepared for you, that he's already made ready, that he has established for you at the king's table. Whatever you need to serve, whatever you need to accomplish, whatever you need to be focused so that you can do and serve and be who Jesus has for you to be today, this week, this month, this year, he's already provided everything that you need. Belly up to the king's table and take what you need, because he's provided it for you. Now, it's easy to find it objectionable to say that Jesus is going to serve us, but those are his words. I know some people would object to that, Jesus serving us. But just remember this. Peter also objected to Jesus serving him when Jesus was going to wash his feet. And Jesus said to Peter, "If you reject this, then you have no part with me." Accept the service of Jesus Christ. Accept the service that he has already provided. Accept his service at the king's table. Because everything that you need to serve him and to do it wisely as a wise steward, everything you need, he has already prepared for us at the king's table. It is ready for us so that we can do everything he's called us to do in this life. You guys should look really happy about that. This is good news. So in the same dialogue that we see Jesus having with the disciples in Luke chapter 12, if we go down just two more verses, we see Jesus saying this. More than two verses, there's a couple more verses. Look at verses 42 through 44. "And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward?'" Here we go. Here's the stewardship. "Whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." These are marvelous words. These are words of freedom and liberty when I understand what it is to be both a servant, but also to be more than a servant, to be a steward in Jesus Christ. Let me say again, in his grace, he has made me the steward over everything in my life and everything that pertains to my life. But this life is not mine. It belongs to him. It's not mine. And so it makes sense then for me to live this life according to his will and to his direction, not according to my will and my determinations. Here's an example. For 17 years, I was the manager of Yes FM. Now, as part of that responsibility, part of being the manager was I was responsible for all the money that came into the station. I was the steward. I had final stewardship decisions over all the money that came into the station. I was the steward of all of that money. But just because that money came in and I was a steward over it, doesn't mean I could do with that money as I pleased, right? I was just the steward over it. Would it have been acceptable to the board of directors, to the rest of the staff, to the listeners, if I took that money that came into the station that I was a steward over, if I took that money and I bought cars and things that were just for me, bought some jewelry for Donna, something nice to make her happy, would that be acceptable to the board and to the listeners? No, of course not, because it's not my money. I am merely the steward over that money. For me to use that money for self would have been stealing, because that money does not belong to me. Well, by the same token, while I am the steward over this life. I have stewardship over this life and everything that pertains to this life. But this life is not mine. It does not belong to me. It belongs to him. So if I am making the decisions for this life, if I am making my own decisions, I am robbing Jesus. If I make every decision for my life, I'm robbing Jesus, because I'm taking something that belongs to him and I'm claiming it for myself. You see, for the steward needs to live his life according to the master's plan for him. This is what a steward is. We are servants, but we are stewards. And there is freedom that comes in stewardship. And when we are wise stewards, Jesus will entrust more to us. That's one of the benefits. There's so many benefits of understanding the role of being a steward and living as a wise steward, living a life of stewardship. Now, staying in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 44, what Jesus is saying there, Jesus is showing us that when he comes and he finds the steward managing that which is entrusted to him, there are blessings for that steward. That's what he's telling us. When Jesus comes and he finds you and I wisely stewarding the things that he has entrusted to us, there's a blessing for us. We are blessed, we are happy, and we are rewarded for being good and wise stewards. He rewards us. When he finds us faithfully doing the job of a steward, there's a reward for us. This year that's ahead of us, we should want Jesus to find us being wise stewards over everything that he has entrusted to us. We should have Jesus finding us being wise stewards over this life that he has given us. Not making decisions in my life according to my own desires, but making my decisions based upon his direction and based upon his dictates in the great things and in the small things in my life. That is the moment. That is when I will experience the blessing of having Jesus entrust more to me. It's good to have goals. But as stewards, we go beyond goals. It's good to have goals. But if we want to truly find, if we want to find ourselves walking in everything that Jesus has for us, if we want the freedom, the liberty, if we want to really see our lives taking off with him giving us more and more, look to your stewardship. The more Jesus finds me being a wise steward of the things that he's entrusted to me, the more things he's going to entrust to me in this life. If you're looking for more, make the decision and the determination to be a wise steward over what you have now, and watch as he gives you more. We're all familiar with the spiritual axiom or the biblical axiom that says, you have not because you ask not. Well, let me build upon that a little bit and offer you this observation. We have not more because we're not being wise stewards of what we have. If we're looking for more, if you want Jesus to entrust you with more, determine to be a wise steward. Look to your stewardship of this life and everything that pertains, every aspect of this life and what he's entrusted to you, the great things and the small things he's entrusted to you. So Jesus is really teaching us two things here in Luke chapter 12. First, we're instructed to be a servant. Then we're instructed to be a steward. It begins with the commitment to be a servant, to serve Jesus Christ by giving our lives totally to him. Then once we've done that, then I can resolve to continue on. I can resolve to excel in my role as a steward of this life, which he has very magnanimously allowed me to be the steward over. You see, the servant is watchful, and the servant is looking for means to serve. The servant is watchful and prepared to serve. But the steward additionally understands that his life is not his own. It belongs to Jesus Christ. The steward understands that he has been given the honor. He's afforded the honor of being the steward and being in control, managing his life to the glory of Jesus Christ. To be a better steward as we serve Jesus, that should be our goal for this coming year. Be a better steward as I serve Jesus. And you will find he's going to entrust you with more. He's got more that he wants each one of us. He's got so much for Donna that he wants to give to her. He's just waiting for Donna, or he's waiting for Todd to say, look, I'm going to show you, I'm going to show myself to be a wise steward over everything. Then he's going to give me more. He will give you more as well. I don't know about you. I want him to trust me so he can invest in me and trust into my care every plan that he has for me. Then the things that Amy was talking about, we can then be focused on how we serve those around us and how we bring them into being stronger believers or even just becoming believers in Jesus Christ, because we're operating in the full power of the ministry that he has called each one of us to do. So Jesus has shown us those two areas, that we're instructed to be a servant, and then we're instructed to be a steward. So we're all servants. Now our goal is to rise to the level of being wise stewards. Now Paul fully understood his role as a steward, and he spoke some words regarding this, which are powerful words of truth even for us today. Here's what Paul said. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And again, I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. So then, let us, apostles, let us be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. The more that I prove myself to be worthy of trust, the more that I prove myself to be a wise steward over the things that Jesus has entrusted to me, the more Jesus is going to entrust to me, including revelation of the Word, including those divine insights into his secret purposes, into the deeper things of the spiritual realm that are only revealed through the Holy Spirit. As I am a wise steward of everything he's entrusted to me, when I'm a steward over the things that he's given me, this life and the physical things, the natural things, he's going to entrust me with more. But the exciting and the awesome thing is, as I'm a wise steward of this Word, as I go through the coming year, and I'm a wise steward of this Word, and so I am feeding this Word, and I am living out this Word, as I'm a wise steward of this Word, he's going to give me more revelation of the Word. I'm going to understand things I never understood before. Because as a wise steward, he will entrust us with more. I don't know about you, I want to know his secret purposes. I want revelation on his Word that I've never had before. It should be the desire of each one of us. Listen, I hope when you come on Sundays, I hope you leave every time and you've learned something more about the Word of God. I love the opportunity to teach and to serve. But there is no greater joy that you will have in your life than when you yourself are reading the Word and you understand and you see something not through man, but because the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Nothing is more fulfilling and more rewarding than that. It makes you want to spend more time in the Word because you know He showed you something. He showed you personally something. That is awesome. And it's part of stewardship. Be a wise steward of this and He will show you more. So finally, the steward, according to this verse, needs to prove himself to be trustworthy. Trustworthy in managing the house that he's been given stewardship over. Give yourselves this year, starting today, give yourselves every day, give yourselves fully in service to him. And you're going to find out that all of the goals, spoken or unspoken, that you have, you're going to find those goals are accomplished and fulfilled because you're going to find that your goals are lining up with his goals. You're going to find that what you have set forth, you're doing things to glorify him instead of doing things to meet my individual needs. Be a wise steward, and you will walk in the blessing of being entrusted with more, so much more, because Jesus today, right now today, he has more for you than you realize. Right now today, Jesus is waiting to release and entrust into each one of us more. More of the things. There is things that he has in trust that he wants to give to you. As I walk in being a wise steward, I make myself available to receive, to be entrusted with more of those things. That doesn't just benefit me. That benefits everybody around me and even those that don't know Jesus Christ. So as we begin 2017, we are servants, but we are stewards. Let's have the mindset of being wise stewards of everything that he's entrusted to us. This life is not mine, it's his. And everything that I have in this life is his. I want to use it according to his will. And I will find 2017 to be prosperous in more ways than I could possibly think or imagine. I will truly then look back at the end. When I'm standing here in 2018 with whatever word God has you for then, I will look back and so will you. And you will say, 2017, I received more than I could have thought or hoped or imagined. That's what he has for each one of us. Amen? You guys believe that? Let's stand up then and praise him for who he is and what he's promised to us.